Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is April the 10th, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. I'm doing just fine. Beautiful weekend. Had a nice holiday.
Yeah, it was lovely. It was Easter, and I enjoyed the weather. It was a little cool, but not too bad. And there were, gosh, blooms everywhere. Lewis has Lewis and Blooms. And so I love going downtown and looking at all the blooms there. And
yeah, it was. Well, and we were just talking. So Thursday of last week, it was really hot. So we all sort of got set for the summer. And then we got reminded that summer's not quite here yet.
Right, right.
So you are Virginia Catley?
Yes, I am.
And you are from the Sussex County Genealogical Society, and we met at the Health Fitness Leisure Expo. I think it was, did we figure out, was it March 10th?
Yeah.
Early part of March.
Early part of March.
One of the events they have down at Cape Henlopen High School, I think Kathy Bennett, I think, put it on, which she was on the podcast. Great event. We, my wife and I, went down to see all the folks, and we met part of your group. I didn't meet you that day, but we definitely met some people from your group. I think this is really cool. And I want to hear all about it. I was telling you prior that I am adopted, so I am one of those people that really have no idea where I came from or, you know, anything. So it's interesting.
Yeah, that's we get a lot of people who are not really sure about their heritage, you know, whether it's because they're adopted or because there's people in their family who didn't really tell them anything about their background. And yeah, it's a very interesting field right now because there's so much happening in it.
Well, and, you know, I grew up, you know, as a person that was adopted in 1968, you know, there was rules in place. I mean, they literally, it was all confidential, and we just had to like it. You know, it's like, oh, you were born, somebody, you know, gave birth to you, and we can't tell you who it was. So have a good life. And it's interesting, right? It is, I won't get too much into it, but I know that there's parts of my life where adoption sort of played a role, you know, thinking, oh, if I just hadn't been, you know, especially in my teenage years, you know, if I just had my real parents, life would be great, right? And so, and I think, you know, probably happens to a lot of people that have that sort of situation. But as I've gotten older, you know, it is what it is. And then having children, and what I realized, what I was really missing was to see that real circle of life. And, you know, because where did my nose come from? Where did my eyes come from, right? My mom, who passed away, I guess it's been 2 years now. It's funny, when we were adopted, and I'm not going to, I won't make this about me, but when I was adopted, they used to allow you to pick. You know, they picked a blonde-haired, blue-eyed boy and a brown-haired, brown-eyed boy, which sort of resembled my mom and my dad. And so my mother and I always sort of, we had blue eyes, so people would say, oh, you guys look so much alike, and we just, you know,
chuckle.
Wink. Yeah, we'd wink at each other. We didn't need to, you know, make a whole story of it. But, you know, that doesn't seem to happen a lot today in this world because so many people are adopting children today. But I didn't find that full circle until I finally had my kids. You know, I get to see where my nose went, right, or my eyes went. And so I sort of found that circle of life. But, yeah, I guess everybody's story is different.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are curious about their background if they're adopted. And our group is not a group of professionals. We're all amateurs looking at our own genealogy and helping others who might be interested in learning about genealogy and finding out about their family. And I did have a brother-in-law who asked me to help him with his genealogy because he was adopted and he didn't really have a clear idea. In fact, he thought he was Irish.
Because,
wow. Yeah, because his mother's... Now, he knew his mother. His mother's last name was Irish. So, but when we did the DNA testing, which is really what really got us some answers, turned out he was half Italian. And wow. This was mind-blowing to him, although now if you look at him, he looks Italian. And for some reason, that piece of the puzzle was really important for him to know. And he really, really appreciated getting that. So, you know, sometimes even if you don't get in contact with the people that you're biologically related to, it can be helpful just to know sort of your general ethnicity.
Yeah. Well, that is a mystery for me. I am supposedly Irish and Northern Italian.
Oh, there you go.
Whatever that is. Of course, it's Northern Italian, but I don't know. So that was my supposed heritage, I guess. I definitely, you know, I drink like I was Irish, so I don't drink anymore. And I love, you know, Italian food, so maybe it is something in there. But
there's a connection.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you get started? Let's talk about the journey. Was this something, what were you doing prior? How did you come into the idea of doing this? And talk about your partners in crime.
Yeah, well, my husband and I moved to Lewis almost, 9.5 years ago. We retired here. We came from Salisbury, Maryland.
Welcome.
Yeah, and it was a whole new start. We kind of picked this area for a lot of reasons. It was fairly close to where we had lived before, and we thought it was a beautiful area. And we had some connections here, some people that we knew who lived here. So we just dived into it, and I wanted to find something new to do. I decided that, you know, I mean, I had dabbled in lots of things. I've worked as a school psychologist. I worked as in my husband's church. He's a pastor.
Okay.
And I worked there as the director of care ministries, is what it was called, a membership. So I've kind of done a lot of different things. And I just thought, oh, I want to try something different. And genealogy sort of appealed to me because my grandfather had done some work. This is my grandfather on my father's side. So he had been able to get back to the 1700s, and I thought that was really cool. But I didn't really know a lot totally about my mother's side. She right. was more the mystery. And in particular, her mother, who had died when my mother was 18 months old. I never met my grandmother. And she had come over from Sweden. So I thought, oh, that would be really cool to find out about her side. So I joined this group, the Sussex County Genealogical Society, and they had some introductory courses at that time that they were doing, you know, how to do genealogy 101 kind of. And I took those, and I just kept going to meetings, and I got into Ancestry, built a tree, and then the next thing you knew, I took the DNA test. And I found all these matches who were in Sweden. This is taking years, but you know,
yeah,
it's a complex subject, so it's not like you get it all at once. But anyway, so the Sweden connections, and I was making some progress on linking myself up with people in the tree in Sweden. The Swedish have really good records. They, a long time ago, the church was kind of the repository for all the government records, like who was born and who died and all this. And so their records are really wonderful. Of course, the problem is they're in Swedish.
Right.
But I got a book and, you know, you figure out which parts of the records are important to you. You know, this part is the birth part, this part is the death part, and you can kind of figure it out anyway. So I was doing all that, and then on one of my DNA matches, I realized, oh, this woman is a match to me, and she lives kind of near where I think the family came from. So anyway, I contacted her, and lo and behold, she was an English teacher. So communication was no problem at all. And not only that, she was totally open to having us visit with her if we would come over.
Okay.
And she was a rabid genealogist.
Oh, wow.
She knew all about the area. She knew all about where my grandmother lived.
So come over to Sweden?
Yes. Okay. We ended up going over to Sweden, my husband and I. Yeah. I mean, this is a long journey, but it was fantastic because nobody else in the family had ever done that. And we were able to go to the farm where my grandmother grew up, although the farm was the farmhouse was gone. It's now just forest, but we could walk on it. We walked on it with a neighbor who had actually lived on a neighboring farm there. And my fifth cousin, whose name is Gunilla, was translating a lot for me. I mean, it was just an amazing, amazing experience. And I came back from that really convinced that this is really a good thing for people to do.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I know for me, there is, you know, there's a lot of questions, right? I really don't have any idea. I was sharing with you before that, you know, is it 23andMe? I know there's a couple of them that you can get your DNA tested, I guess, and it helped trace it. Then I saw a few things that made it seem like, I don't know if it was really true. And then I think my brother was trying to do it, and then the pandemic hit, and then sort of all those sort of services struggled, whether it was, you know, people just not being there working or whatever, but it seemed to take forever, and I don't even know if my brother even got his results. So then I was like, maybe this isn't the time. But, you know, we're getting out of this thing, right? And we're getting back to some normalcy, right? And I would like to know, even if it was just for my kids, right? Just to know, because it is strange, you know, my son, I'm probably in my good days, 5'10", right? Shrinking, I think. But he's like 6'2" or 6'1". And I'm like, where did you get this height from? So it would be, I don't know if he got it off my side or if he got it off his mom's side. I don't know. But
or just good nutrition, maybe?
Hey, we feed him well. But he's like really skinny, long and tall. But it's just, I would like to find out. And I'm glad I'm having a conversation with you. Maybe you can point me in the right direction. What is this process for? So not, we won't use me as an example, but use, we'll just take someone random and say that they come to you and have curious and are wondering of about their, where they've come from. How do we start?
Well, we do have a time, it's kind of a meeting at the Lewis Historical Society. We call it the Genealogist in Residence. And that's on the first Saturday of the month. And we have a few of our volunteers there at the Lewis Historical Building. And people can come in if they have questions about their genealogy or if they have a tree and maybe they have a brick wall and they want somebody to help them with that. So that's one place to start.
Is a brick wall where you just basically can't get any farther?
Right.
Okay.
Right. But we also have our regular programs, which are at our general meetings. They're at the third Saturday of the month at the Lewis Library. And we have a real variety of speakers that we usually Zoom in. And they're sometimes the topics are more advanced, you might say. It's not for a beginner. But there are some beginning topics for that, too. And I will have to say, it is kind of a process to really get into it. It's a little bit overwhelming, I know, for some people, myself included, just because there's all these new terms and there's, you know, you have to learn what there is on the web because there's so much on the internet. I mean, you can join a service like Ancestry and build a tree. That's kind of what I did. I built a tree. And you get hints on your tree, which you can follow up with and build more trees. But I guess you might say the problem with Ancestry is that you really have to make sure that what the information you're getting is correct, is accurate, is based on some kind of record, written record, or something other than somebody's idea.
How do you do that?
Well, they have records on Ancestry, and that's what you're paying for when you do it. You're paying for the records and the chance to look at what they have online there.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you build your tree out, and really the first couple generations are usually actually pretty easy for most people because they're familiar. You know your parents, you know your grandparents. And maybe you might know your great-grandparents, or if you don't, other people probably have them in their tree that you are connected to if you do the DNA testing. Doing the DNA testing, I feel like opened up a whole bunch of people to me that I would never have known were there, you know, distant cousins.
Right.
So anyway, so that's how I started. Other people have other approaches. There's Family Search, which is a free service, and you can go on there and look at their records and build a tree. There's software you can buy to build a tree with.
Okay.
There's just a lot of approaches to the whole thing.
So joining this group, joining your guys' group, does that help you begin? Joining the group, is that a beginning to start on this journey?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I guess what I'm thinking is I could have done this by myself, and prior to knowing there's even a group that sort of is likes doing this kind of stuff. Or I can join this group, come to the meeting, not only have all of the stuff that's out there, but have all the resources from the people that are in the group also.
Right. And you don't have to be a member to come to the meetings, although the membership is cheap. It's $25 a year.
Okay.
But if you're a member, then you have more access to the members part of our website, which gives you names and phone numbers and contact with other members if you want to contact them.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure that they've had a lot of experience in doing this. Probably a few brick walls probably crashed into. And, you know, because for me, I was thinking, gosh, I'm going to hit my first brick wall and I'm not going to know what to do. Then I'm going to be calling you. Virginia.
Well, you might or you might not. I mean, with my brother-in-law, when we did the DNA match or the DNA testing, he got a first cousin match.
Wow.
Which meant, I mean, I can't really get it down to exactly who his father is, but it's one of two people.
And okay.
So I think it can happen like that depending on how prolific your relatives were.
Yeah.
You know, if they had a lot of children or if there were a lot of people who came over, depending on when they came over. And it's very variable.
Well, when you think about it, I mean, you know, we're not that old, right? If we go, even if we went back 300 years, it was pretty chaotic 300 years ago. You know, it wasn't as smooth sailing as we have it right now, or 400 years ago. I mean, who knows? But, you know, life was clearly a lot different and, you know.
Well, you end up
pretty wild.
Yeah, you end up getting into history with this subject because you get interested in, you know, what was happening in what country which made them come to the United States,
right.
Or, you know, perhaps what kind of work they were involved in, and, you know, it leads you down lots of paths. We call them rabbit holes.
And not to get like into politics, but, you know, not most of us didn't start here.
Exactly.
Right.
We all came from somewhere
That's
else.
That's right. Exactly. Let's not forget that.
There is some Native American genealogy being done, and it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's a little harder, I think.
Yeah.
I've not really been involved with that, but.
Well, I am fascinated by history. I am fascinated by how we ended up here. I am fascinated by how people have, you know, traveled across this planet in different ways, whether it's ice bridges or, you know, lack of ice bridges or whatever it was. You know, I was watching some, I think it might have been Joe Rogan. He was talking about this ice bridge that was up, you know, in the top of North America that allowed people to cross over. But there was a short-faced bear, right, that basically eliminated people from crossing over because it would just eat everybody that came across until they figured out how to compete against it, and then which it, you know, allowed people to come down. So I think it's very fascinating. I am curious to see. I might have to come to the meeting because I would sort of like. I'm getting excited about the idea of learning about my history and where I've come from, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So when is the first meeting? And how do you? Are they well attended? Have you had some? How's it been going?
Well, COVID was a real blow, of course.
Yeah.
We had already started some, I guess you would call it Zoom-type meetings before COVID, where we had a presenter who was online and then people who were at the meeting in person. But when COVID came, that, of course, stopped all the in-person meetings. And we've only been back to in-person meetings and our general meetings since December.
Okay.
So we lost a lot of members, and, you know, we're slowly building back up. We're trying to do more outreach.
No, you lost as in they just don't show up or they died?
Both.
Oh.
You geez. Know. Our membership is typically, you know, some older population. So some of them do die off.
Oh,
and
Godspeed.
Yeah, I mean, it just happens.
Yeah.
But we do want new members.
Sure.
You know, younger people who are interested, who might be curious about their genealogy or they want to explore it. You know, there's a wide range of people who are interested in it, actually.
So how far can you explore, right? How far, like, is there a goal? Like, if I could just figure out who my parents and their parents were, I mean, can you keep going and going and going? And, you know, how far do we go with this?
Yeah, that's really up to you and your ability to access records, because
right.
that's kind of the key to it. I would say a lot of people have gone, you know, hundreds of years back.
Wow.
They've gone back to the Revolutionary War. Well, that's what a lot of these societies like the DAR and other groups, they want you to prove your ancestry, and so you have to basically do your genealogy
right.
to get into these places. And that spurs some people to find out who their relatives were and get more information about it. But I don't know. In Europe, I think they can go back a lot further.
Okay.
Like in England, in some places, because they've been keeping really good records for a long time.
Right.
Here we have more, it's a little harder. Our record keeping sometimes got interrupted by wars.
Sure.
Or, fire burned down the courthouse and, you know, you don't have any more records there or whatever. But we're getting, I would say we're getting better because more things are coming online. People are more interested in it. A DNA has really prompted a lot of people's interest in this whole subject. They're using it. They're using genealogy to solve crimes now.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's popular TV shows about what your roots are and that kind of a thing. And there's a lot of national conferences as well that people can go to. Our organization just joined the National Genealogical Society, which is having a conference in Richmond, Virginia, and in May. And there's just a whole wealth of topics that you can get into. It's very specific, like if you're Irish, your Irish heritage, how to figure that out, or if you're Jewish, your Jewish heritage, or they'll sometimes hone in on, like I said, the brick walls, how to break through if you're stuck on somebody. So
for me, there's almost two avenues. There's the avenue of trying to find out who my mother was, right? And then there's an avenue of trying to find out the heritage of my family tree. I have gone down the other avenue of trying to actually find my mother and, you know, use the adoption agency that my parents had gone through. Finally, the lady did reach out and find I guess they always knew who she was. It was just confidential.
Mm-hmm.
Did reach out, and the message from her was tell him to never, ever try to contact me. And I was like, well, that's not very nice. But the lady said, you know, probably what happened is that this woman, you know, might have had you at 14, right? You know, or 15, really, whatever it was. But there may have been a situation because I think, you know, the lady that gave birth to me was in a home, you know, the home of enduring love or whatever it was. So, you know, if you ended up being pregnant, you went to this home, you lived at the home, I guess went to school there, had the baby, and then back to your regular world. I think that's sort of how it happened. So her idea was that maybe she never ever mentioned it again, right? Maybe this is something that she did, gave the baby up for adoption, went back to her regular life and just pretended that never happened. And I think they sort of had it set up that would allow you to do that, right? It was a sort of confidential, you know, hey, you're back. Where you been? You know, I was on a trip into France. I don't know. But the point is that me showing up on the doorstep may not have been the best thing for her. Because you never know. She might have gotten married, never mentioned that she had ever had a child. And so, but And I got that. And I, you know, I'm not a victim to that, right? But I am interested to find out what my heritage is, right? And I think my kids are too. I have, you know, two boys, and you know, I know my first son is Norwegian because his mom is Norwegian, so that's helpful to him. But you know, I'd like to learn more.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think the DNA testing would be kind of a no-brainer for you. I guess the question is just which company would you find the most helpful? And that's there's always a big debate about that, too. Ancestry tends to have the most trees on it, so that if you use their DNA testing, you can get matches with other people who have trees, and then you can look at their trees.
Okay.
And then maybe you can see not only your ethnicity, because they will Ancestry will give you a profile of your and your ethnicity, you know, your father's side and your mother's side, but the trees also help because then you could actually match with possible relatives if you wanted to. But you know, 23andMe is another service. A lot of people like that because you get more health information.
Okay.
So if you're really concerned about, well, what are my chances of getting, and you'd have to look at it to really examine it because I've never used it, but, you know, they do have certain information about your health status that they can glean from your DNA.
Yeah.
And a lot of people like that if they have no background on their family because that's what they want to know. Am I more likely to be susceptible to this kind of disease or not or whatever?
Now, if I, you know, if this is something that all of a sudden I'm finding interest in, if I was to choose to come to a meeting with your group, would there be people there that could help me, give me that advice just like you just gave me, you know, maybe different avenues that I could go down? Or is this for people that have already done that, have already maybe done something like that and then would come to the group?
I think we get all kinds.
All kinds.
It's a, yeah, and that's kind of one of the challenges of running the organization.
Yeah,
is that our audience can be anything from somebody who has just gotten involved with genealogy to somebody who's been doing it for 20 or 30 years. I mean, there's people who really, really have a long history with genealogy. And I remember when I first started, I felt very kind of spooked because I thought, oh, God, I know nothing about this. And there's all these people with all this experience and knowledge and whatever. But, you know, it's like anything. You just start wherever you are. And if you, of course, you have to have the time to put into it, too.
Right.
But you can learn a whole lot just by attending the meetings and talking to people. And we hope to have other offerings. We do have a group called the Family Search Special Interest Group on Zoom, and they meet and talk about family search and how to use it. That's the Mormons group, basically, that has collected. The Mormons have collected records for years, and they have them all in Salt Lake City. And so Family Search is their online area where you can search their records.
Okay.
So we have a group for that, and we have a group called the Roots Magic Group, which was it's kind of about the software program called Roots Magic and how to use it. Because, of course, there's a lot of technology now in genealogy.
Yeah.
People who first started out doing this were just going to courthouses and looking up records. I mean, that was hard enough, you know, but now you can go online and you there's all kinds of technology you can use, all kinds of software. We're having a program coming up that's called Using the Goldie Mae Tool in Your Genealogy Research. I had never heard of the Goldie Mae Tool, but apparently a fellow has developed this tool, Richard Miller, and it's a way to keep track of your research. Because, let me tell you, if you start doing research, you can get volumes of paperwork that you're trying to, you know, coordinate. And, okay, I already went to this site and looked up this and this and this and this. So, anyway, the Goldie Mae Tool is supposed to help you organize your research.
Okay.
Which is can be major.
Helpful.
Yes, very helpful. So that's on April the 15th, this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Lewis Library. But I would suggest, yeah, you just come to our meetings, introduce yourself to some of the people there, some of the officers or other people who are milling about. People are friendly. They don't always have the answer, maybe, but you can. They can direct you to somebody who might be able to help you out with your question.
No, at the expo, what was your guys' goal? To try to build up your membership, just to shine a little light to let people know that, hey, if this is something that you're interested in, we are here. Do we have any of these other, is this available from anybody else around here? I don't think I've heard of any other genealogy folks around here. Did you have success at the meeting?
Well, we feel like we did pretty good. I mean, honestly, we hadn't really tried any outreach for a long time because of COVID.
Right.
And yeah, we talked to a lot of people. We gave out, we have brochures. We gave out our brochures. And we feel like we need to do more of that. We're probably going to do another one of the expos maybe in the fall. We're trying to do as much outreach right now as we can because we did have a drop in our membership and we want to bring it back up. We've had about 100 members in the past, and right now we're about at 84.
Okay.
So we're inching our way back. But it's a group that is, I would say, fairly unique. I don't think there's another genealogy group in Sussex County, not that I'm aware of. There is one in Dover. It's, I think, called the Delaware Downstate Genealogical Society. And there's one in Wilmington. If you go online, there's many, many, many of them across the United States. And also you can get into going to libraries where they have genealogical information. They're often online as well. The records are starting to just pop up everywhere because people are really into the subject matter and they want these records online if possible.
Yeah. Well, that is, I mean, yeah, I think people also being at home, maybe being at home for a little while has, you know, sparked interest. Like, what do we do? Let's learn who we are, right? And so maybe that's creating, I'm not sure I guess what sparked my interest is just the fact that I have no idea, right? I just never have, and I've been okay with it. It's almost like, you're never going to know. Don't worry about it. You'll be okay with it. And I'm like, okay, I'll be okay with it. But then after a while, you're like, well, wait a minute, I'm not that okay with it. And like I said, do I need to meet my actual parents? No, but I do think it would be fun to learn, you know, who I am and where I came from, right?
Absolutely.
So what are some of the other, how many times do you guys meet a year? Is it once a month?
Once a month. We meet September through May on the third Saturday of the month.
So it says general meeting September through May, just like you said, third Saturday at 10 a.m. at the Lewis Library, 111 Adams Street, Lewis, Delaware. And then it says, what else do we got? We got a great trifold here. Genealogists in residence, and I think you mentioned a little bit about that. Members assist you with your genealogy research monthly on the first Saturday at 10 to 2 at the Lewis History Museum, which is not next to the, oh, that's 101 Adams. So they're close.
Yeah, it's right next door.
Okay, I didn't even know that. So the history. What is it called? The History Museum is next door to the Lewis Library.
Absolutely.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Actually, it used to be, I think it used to be the old Lewis Library.
Oh.
And then the new library was built, you know, I'd say maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's when the History Museum moved into the old building. And they've done a really nice job renovating it and making it into a very nice museum.
Well, and the nice thing about the museum is you can access it from Kings Highway and Lewis. I don't know what the
Freeman Highway.
Yeah, is it? There's two ways to get in. You don't have to go into the town of Lewis to get to the Lewis Library.
You can
get it through Kings Highway.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is nice because
yes,
traffic in Lewis is getting a little crazy.
Yes, it is. We were originally, when we started, we were in Rehoboth for a number of years and we don't own a building, and when they built the Lewis Library, we decided it would be advantageous to us to move over there, partly because of the parking.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of parking.
The parking is really tough in Rehoboth. Once they put the meter's on. And even now, my husband and I have been going in there, you know, occasionally on the weekends, and it's just really crowded.
Well, and they've also have bike access. You know, the bike trail runs right by the library. I mean, you can literally, if you're near a trail, you could probably ride your bike to the library, eliminate one extra car in the town, and maybe make life a little easier.
Right.
So you meet once a month, so 12 meetings, I guess, right? Breaks it down?
Well, we don't go in the summer because June, July, and August are sort of our time off. You know, everybody has their families coming down to visit. And there are some people, I guess, who wouldn't mind having the meetings in the summer, but the majority of our members have other things they want to do. They want to go to the beach, you know, they want to spend time with friends and family. And
it's like, just be honest, guys, let's just skip summer. We'll pick it up after summer because we all, I'm available, except we are leaving out of town. It's like, it happens. I'm in the hair business and it's the same thing. It's people are just always up and leaving and doing different things, and you just almost have to be okay with it.
Yeah. And I think it works. I think it works pretty good that way. It's sort of like being in school again. You start your meetings up when the school starts and you finish them when school ends. And you get in that rhythm again, the school rhythm.
Do you try to have speakers for the meetings? Or because I did see at some point there was a speaker.
The speakers are usually, lately anyway, they have been brought in by Zoom.
Okay.
They're not in person. We did have an in-person speaker a couple months ago from the NABS Center, which is in Salisbury, Maryland. The NABS Center is a place where they are collecting records and other historical information from the region. And so we thought it would be good to have a live speaker for that, and he was great. He was really good. But most of our speakers have been, I guess you would call them more national speakers. Yeah. They're not from our local area, but they cover topics that we think our membership would be interested in.
So when a person, let's say myself, gets involved in this and starts doing the research, does the research that I find become part of the wealth of research? I mean, is that just become more researched? You know what I'm saying? Like, if I search out and I find information, does that go into the database of research? Does that help connect other paths? Or
I guess it depends on, you know, where you put it.
Right.
I mean, if you're doing your research on a paid subscription program like Ancestry, and you make it public, because you can either make it public or private.
Okay.
Yes, if it's public, then other people can see it, and they can, you know, find out if they're connected to you and who you have said are your relatives.
Right.
Or if it's private, a lot of people do make their trees private just because, for one reason or another, they just rather not have anybody figuring out who their ancestors are. And that is one thing about genealogy, I will have to say. You can have some real surprises on your ancestors and the family secrets that are hidden way back, maybe a generation or two or three. Get ready for a surprise somewhere along the line. Of course, you would have a lot of surprises because you don't have any.
Everything would be a surprise.
Yeah,
but what's a surprise that some people, like brother or a sister they didn't know of, or what's some crazy surprises?
Yeah, that can happen. Well, a surprise for me and my family was that my great-grandmother, who was Swedish, she lost her husband by suicide.
Oh, no.
Now, I did not know that. There may have been other family members on other branches of the family that knew that, but I didn't really know that. Mm-hmm. So, but that was the reason they were propelled over to the United States, and they, my great grandmother ended up marrying her husband's brother.
Husband's brother. Who her was brother-in-law?
Yeah, basically her brother-in-law. Hey. That was another surprise.
Whoops.
Well, that's partly why she came, too, because he was over here. He was in South Dakota. He wasn't married, and I guess that was part of the family safety net.
Yeah.
They didn't really have Social Security.
Well, listen, that's a great, I mean, like I said, the world is so different, right? It was such a different place a few hundred years ago. I mean, people were having kids a lot younger. We weren't expected to live that long. It was like, get as many kids out as you can, because who knows what's going to happen to them. It was just, and now we sort of live in this pretty vanilla world, and, you know.
It's more predictable, but you can still have problems, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that's the family secret issue is kind of something you just have to get used to, that you're probably going to run into something that you had never heard before, or that maybe somebody else had whispered about, but you weren't sure about. And, it's just part of history.
Yeah. One of the, they did give me a few tidbits of information when I was searching for my birth parents, is that they did speak with my mother. We've clearly heard her message. And then they sent me a picture of my dad. It was a newspaper clipping of him being in jail for being drunk and fighting with the police. And I was like, oh, God. And then they had a picture, I guess, of a brother, I guess, that would be mine. Both very grainy newspaper clippings. And he was in jail for being a drunk.
Oh, my.
Yeah. And I'm like, God, this is not turning out well. So I quit drinking. No. But it, you know, I was like, okay, well, I was hoping for something a little more positive. But, you know, I guess my question is, sometimes the surprises aren't always, or the answers aren't always what we were looking for.
That's exactly right. And it's good kind of to know that, I guess, before you actually get into it, to realize that, oh, everybody doesn't have this sweet Hallmark ending where you find your family and everybody hugs. And yeah. Unfortunately, there's reasons why people, you know, gave up children, or why they had difficulties maybe, you know, coming over to the United States. That was a long, hard journey.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people weren't well educated. They didn't know how to survive that well, and they used whatever resources they could get their hands on. You know, so it's tough sometimes to hear all that, but you know what? I feel like it's good in a way. We realize how fortunate we are. Well, where we are today,
absolutely.
You know, we have all these resources that are available to us if we need help. And so, you know, it's getting a perspective, you might say.
Well, and the other thing that I find interesting is, we wonder where we came from. Obviously, you know, Europe and finally people had come over to the United States. But there's also like this, you know, I was born in Oklahoma City. Right. Mm-hmm. So it's like there's also this group of people that said, I'm not staying on the East Coast. I want to adventure out and see what else the adventurers. Right. That's the wild, wild west. You know, I grew up in New Mexico, moved here from California, born in Oklahoma City. I'd like to know, you know, who, if they were part of that group that, you know, wagon wheeled it across the United States and over to Oklahoma, you know, and I'd love to know some of that history, because, you know, I think people are always wondering where, you know, 1,000 years or 500 years ago we started. But, I'd also like to know what our path was sort of in the United States.
More recent history. Yeah. Well, that can be fascinating, too, because, yeah, there were all these waves of migration to head out west. And I was looking at some of my relatives who, I think they were in Virginia originally, and then they kind of moved after the Revolutionary War. They kind of moved out to West Virginia. And then when the Civil War came, a bunch of them moved even farther west. And I don't know this for sure, but I think maybe at that point they were just trying to get away from the fighting, perhaps, that was going on, or maybe the political, shall we call it, divisiveness that was occurring, and they just wanted to be somewhere further away from it. So you start to understand some of these migration movements that happened and what drove people to move. And oftentimes they did go in groups. So that's sometimes helpful to know, too. You know, it wasn't.
You almost had to.
Yeah.
You couldn't just head out alone.
Right.
I had a client that sent me, they'd gone up to the Oregon Trail, and sent me pictures of these trails, of these wagon wheel trails into the granite stone that just carved these trails from these continuous wagon after wagon that went down these paths that you know, it was just such a crazy time back then. And, you know, growing up in New Mexico, living in California and being back on the East Coast, I've lived in three different attitudes of people, really. You know, the East Coast is so much different than the West Coast, and both are so much different than, like, New Mexico. You know, the attitude in Albuquerque is so different, you know, and that's where I'd grown up. I remember going back recent. It was before the pandemic, and we rented this, you know, convertible Mustang because, you know, we wanted to have this. It was a sweet ride. It was for my birthday, but I was telling my buddy Billy, who lives in Albuquerque, and I'm like, well, we'll try to come back next year. Just got to see what sort of money we got. You know, rental cars are expensive. And he's like, well, you can use this. And it was this, you know, old broken down car.
Oh, boy.
But he's like, it'll get you wherever you need to go. And I'm like, I'm a little more East Coast now, Billy. You know, I got this thing about cars. But he's like, hey, you know, it was just about getting wherever you needed to be, and it should be fine with that. And so his mentality on certain things is a little different. And I don't mean to generalize, right? But that was just that. Point is that, you know, in the middle, their attitude's a little different. So I'd be interested to see if, you know, if my family started and, you know, maybe came across, ended up in New York, decided to cross over, how that went. I think that, can you find that out? Is that possible? Can you get that detailed? Or is it just where you began?
Well, you can find it out, but you have to dig into, like, history resources,
okay,
to understand what was going on in that time period and what might have caused people to move and shift across.
So are there people that are part of your group that may have experience in some of this other stuff? Is that a good reason to maybe join the group? Of the wealth of knowledge from your 83 members?
I would say it's more likely one of our speakers would have that kind of a background. You know, you could look for that. We've had talks on the Quakers, and we've had talks, let me think about that, on different parts of the country and groups that were in different parts of the country and what they were doing, sort of a background, you might say, on them.
Right.
I'm curious, what brought you back east? Is that...
Oh, what? My parents? Okay. I moved here. I've lived here almost 30 years now.
Oh, okay.
I'm getting old, Virginia.
Oh, I can't tell.
Thank you, dear. I appreciate that. But it's time's a ticking. And, you know, I grew up, I moved out of Albuquerque when I was probably 17 over to San Diego. My dad was a retired colonel. So he was in the military. We were stationed at Kirtland in Albuquerque. And then he retired and worked for... defense contractor out in San Diego, and we were out there for probably 7 years, and then they retired and said, hey, you can come with us or stay here. And I said, well, I better go with you because you're having a lot of fun in California's a lot of fun, but you know, need to get serious now. So came to Delaware, and really this is where I've grown up, you know. Physically I'm all over, but mentally, you know, maturity wise this is my home, and this is where I've done my best work.
Good for you.
Love Delaware.
Yeah, me too. Well, it's interesting. You mentioned your dad being in the service, and military records are really an important key to finding out a lot about your ancestors. And there is a service called Fold 3 that you can become a part of, and they have just tons of military records.
Yeah,
going way back. And our group did... has before the pandemic, we sponsored some field trips. Like, we would go to Washington, D.C. to the National Archives.
Okay.
And that's where I was able to look at records on a brother of my great-great-grandfather, I think it was, who was in the Civil War. And he was, yeah, he was applying for a pension. He had some kind of a medical problem at this point in his life. And you didn't get a pension just for service. You got a pension if you were somehow injured or disabled from the war. So anyway, so there's all this paperwork. It was all about, you know, his medical problems. And but what was it was fascinating, but... What was helpful to me is that then I could find out where he actually had had lived growing up or where his family came from, because his last name was Williams.
Okay.
And Williams is a horribly common name.
Yeah.
And that's part of the difficulty when you're researching. If you have a family name that's really common, then you're going to have more problems, because everybody, you know, all these records, you're not quite sure, well, it's got the right even first name and last name, but I'm not sure, you know, if this is my guy or is this somebody else's guy. And, you know, it's a lot of detective work, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we did do that. We went to the National Archives, and hopefully we'll be able to start doing more things like that, because that's where that a lot of that stuff is not online.
Right.
Some of it is, no, right. but a lot of it is not, and you can find all kinds of goodies in there.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, so you do some extra things when you're part of the group. Do you have your, like, Christmas party?
We do.
Hey!
Yeah!
There we go.
Every year, we have a nice Christmas party, and that's a members talk, you might say.
Okay.
People can bring in whatever they found over the year. It could be a photograph, could be an article, could be some kind of breakthrough that they've had, and they share that with the other members. And that's a fun time.
What do you find? I mean, I guess you've seen a few people that have kind of gone on this journey. What seems to be the motivation? I mean, I know for me, it's just being adopted, right? I mean, but it sounds like people really love to dig. And what usually is the motivation? Just curiosity? 'Cause I can.
I guess it's curiosity. I would assume it's curiosity about your roots. Maybe somebody else in the family. A lot of times people find somebody else in the family has already done all this work, you know, years ago when it was really hard to do. They went to courthouses and they have all this paperwork. They might have boxes and boxes of stuff. And they're like, oh my God, what do I do with this? I've either got to figure out what this was all about or else I got to toss it or something, right. You know. They, so a lot of people do it because somebody in the family has already gotten them sort of interested in it like that. For me, like I said, it was my grandfather. He used to carry around, it was a sort of a trifold or more, even more than that, of pictures of these old people who were his relatives, and he would flip it out, and we'd all look at it and like, who is that? We had no idea. I mean, these people were like from the 1800s. And we're
nice.
Like, I'm thinking, man, that's really crazy. And yeah, but years later, when I really thought about it, I thought, gosh, I would really like to know more about that. And of course, my grandfather was long gone by then. And this is one thing they do recommend always. If you have any living members who are elderly, be sure to talk to them about who's in the family and any stories, and because it all disappears when they're gone. Yeah. And then it's too late. And the same with DNA testing. It's always better to test your oldest living relative, because that DNA testing goes back further in terms of matching with people. So I was able to have my mother tested as well as myself. My father was already deceased when I got into this. But anyway, so I can see my matches. And then if I compare them to her matches, she gets more of them. And they're farther back, you might say. In other words, it might be a sixth or seventh cousin that she's matching with. And I get sixth and seventh cousin matches too, but they would be a fourth cousin match for her.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm listening.
You're able to go back farther in time and perhaps, you know, make some connections with some distant grandparents. I don't know.
Well, I always tell my kids, we're the beginning. This is it. This is where we start. This is the start right here. Because prior to this, I'm not sure.
Right.
We'll probably look into some more. So we do have a little bit. But, you know, it always feels like this asterisk that I'm adopted. Right. You know, it's that we love, you know, and it's fun that when you meet people that are like full of knowledge of how their family tree is gone. You know, my dad, he knows about his grandmother, and he talks about, you know, they came over the Dutch and it was the whole thing, but I'm always like, asterisk, not my family. right? Because we're adopted. But it is fun when you know people that know something about their life. I just don't know anything, right? It's really just starting with me, Sam, and David. And, yeah, it's...
Well, I will say that you have gotten a lot from your adopted parents.
Mm.
You've gotten their values, and you've gotten, even if it's not a biological connection, you're still deeply embedded with them.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That doesn't even need to be said. I love my parents. I'm trying to be part of the genealogy conversation. Listen, my dad, you know, I take care of my dad. My mom passed. It's been 2 years. I mean, he lives on his own, goes to the Crystal every morning, the country club every day. He's living an awesome life. He's never had cancer. He's never had anything. He's doing great. And he's not my birth father, right? I'm like, darn it. How come I can't have...
Well, you still get a lot from him that's going to help you. If he's healthy, he's hopefully been able to pass that on to you, some of those good habits. Because it's not all your genes. Your genes are only part of what turns out to be, you know, your health history. A lot of it is the way your lifestyle and, you know, how you take care of yourself and all that other stuff. And all of that doesn't come from your biology.
No, it doesn't. But there are good genes, right? We do get good genes.
We do.
For some reason, he's, you know, done really well. I think it's just fun. It's just fun stuff to learn. It's not going to change a thing. You know, we're going to still get up and do the same thing we would usually do. But I do think it would be fun to learn a little bit, you know. Because people say, what's your heritage? And I say, you know, like I said, Irish and then Northern Italian. And people are like, what's Northern Italian? I go, I don't know. That's what I was told.
Oh, God, you should go visit Italy.
Is it awesome?
Oh, it's awesome. Yeah,
What's the difference between Northern Italian and Southern, I guess?
Well, I'm not an expert, but I would think that the Northern Italians would be more connected to, like, Austria.
Okay.
And people in Switzerland, and because, you know, they speak Italian. Some parts of Switzerland speaks Italian. So I'm assuming it would be more that heritage, whereas a Southern Italy is more connected to Greece.
Okay.
And sort of more the Mediterranean areas.
Okay.
So there is a difference, I believe, in...
It's like Southern Delaware... In Northern Delaware.
Maybe.
I'm Southern Delaware, man. It's clearly not Northern.
Yeah. I'm sure they would tell you right off what the difference is. They would be very aware.
Well, listen, Virginia, I appreciate you coming on. Did we miss anything? What else can we share or talk about that may help somebody out there find the desire to come to the meeting? It sounds like it's a big group of people that like to have a good time.
It is. Yeah. It is. And... you know, it's something that's worth diving into.
Yes.
I would say it's a great topic. It gives you something to talk about. And if you like to travel, now, my husband and I are going to Ireland in the fall, and that's because of his heritage.
Okay.
He's got an Irish branch, and we've been able to locate it where it is in Kerry, sort of in Kerry County is where that branch came from, which is supposed to be beautiful. We've never been there. We've set up a tour with a person who is both a tour guide and a genealogist.
Okay.
So we're hoping that we can find some of the Falvey's, that's the name, the last name, some of his Falvey relatives. We've been able to find a tavern in the area called the Falvey Tavern, and he's very excited about that, just walking in and saying, cousins, I'm here.
I'm a Falvey, line them up.
Apparently, people tell us that if you go to Ireland, you're embraced no matter what your background is. So we're really, really looking forward to that. So to me, it provides an avenue into wanting to go to places and just finding out what the people are like.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, listen, it's nice to join like clubs and stuff that are all sort of the same like-minded folks doing like-minded things and, you know, celebrating Christmas and different stuff. I just joined a paddle club, New Hope Paddle Club, and I've never paddled, but I'm into it and the group is into it and I'm having a lot of fun and it's sort of fun to be part of something, even though 3 weeks ago I was not a paddler and now I am. I guess the point is never count yourself out.
Exactly.
You never know what you may fall in love doing. And, you never know the group you might fall in love with, you know, and this sounds like a lot of fun stuff. And, you know, I think that's the point of these groups is that the other things that you get to do, you know, hang out, maybe go out to dinner or celebrate different things as a group, which is very cool. Well, listen, Virginia, I really appreciate it. So this is the Sussex County Genealogical Society in the general meetings, September through May, third Saturday, 10 a.m., Lewis Library, 111 Adams Street, Lewis, Delaware, right next door to the History Center.
Right? Yes, absolutely. Come see us.
Come see us. And so your website is www.scgsdelaware.org. And your Facebook page is facebook.com/SCGS199971. But I think if you probably just type it in, it'll probably pop right up.
Yeah, absolutely.
And people can reach out through probably on Messenger through your Facebook page if they want, or your website.
The website has a place where you can make comments, or you can reach us that way.
Cool. Have you had any big, you know, like big finds? Like, oh my God, that was unexpected.
You mean me personally, or
the group?
That's an interesting
question. Any monumental
question.
Moments that...
Monumental moments.
Real breakthrough, real wall drops.
You know, it's hard for me to think of anything right this minute. There was a member who was also an adoptee who, she's no longer in the group because she moved to South Carolina, but I remember her saying, oh, if it hadn't been for this group, I wouldn't have known about, you know, my family. And this. And she was totally bonded to, you know, half the people there just because she felt like she had learned so much. And it's funny because I asked her at one point, I said, well, you're really close to your biological family now. And she said, oh, no, not really, but I'm really close to the genealogy group.
Well, see, you know, I can imagine a person coming into this with different ideas of what they're looking for, what they may find may change in their life, right? Sometimes we're just looking for something, right? Just if I just knew this, my life would change, right? And so we come into something like that, and we have different expectations. But when you get to have conversations with other members of a group, something like that, you realize, okay, maybe I have to figure this out. And, you know, you get the voices of others to try to help you not only through the research, but just personal experiences. And sometimes that's important because, you know, it's nice to be eased back down the mountain because we get to the very top with expectations and we realize they're not there and we can find disappointment.
And it's always nice to have a group that's doing the same thing you're doing, like you talked about with the paddle group. I never heard of the paddle group, so
we were looking for members.
Where are they? They're in.
It's New Hope Paddle. Where are we? We've been paddling out. So these are outrigger canoes. These are the big 6-seat outrigger canoes that you see like in Hawaii.
Oh yeah.
So it's 6 people paddling. Dave Schofield, if anybody's interested out there, I love it.
You should have him on, or maybe you have.
He's been on twice. That's why I'm in the paddle group.
Oh, that's
weird. I'm about to be joining the genealogy group. How many groups can I join from this podcast? I don't know, but I'm willing here. But we paddle out of the Lewis where the Little League fields are. And during the winter, we've been paddling the canal, but last Wednesday, we took the boat. We have 3, took the boat out of the canal, out through the inlet, around the ferry terminal, and parked them. They are now being stored at the fishing pier down at the Lewis State Park. And nice. That's where we'll paddle out for the summer. Great. I love it. Definitely look into it. I can give you some more information. It's a lot of fun, but it's very difficult.
Oh.
It's
hard on your muscles in their shoulders or what? Yeah.
Plus, when you become that awesome, it's a lot to bear. You're walking around the paddle all day. What's that? My paddle.
Was that what that is?
It's just in case I need to jump into paddling on Route 1, I can just jump into it. But it's a lot of fun, and I'm assuming that a group like this is the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's just something to do. Have fun. And be there. You know, one of the great things about groups like this is the ability to be there for the next person, right? So the next person that walks in the door, that, you know, wants to learn, whether it's paddling or genealogical stuff. You like, I've been doing this for a while. I can help. And
absolutely. Cool. It gives purpose. It gives definitely purpose. Does give you purpose.
Well, thank you. Virginia, you're awesome. I appreciate it. So if someone wants to reach out, we've given all the information. We'll put it in the podcast. And good luck. And I'm probably going to have to come down and see you now because I'm interested. I want to learn.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing you.
Yeah. And absolutely. I know where at.
Yeah.
Lewis Library.
There you go.
All right. Thank you, dear.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.